and welcome to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host for the next 30 minutes as we have a conversation about faith and how to integrate our faith into all the areas of our lives. On this show, we share testimonies and faith journeys intended to encourage you if you're already a believer and challenge you a little bit if you're still checking out faith. Because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing from the Word of God. So that's what we do on this show. We share the Word and we pray that God will open up your hearts to receive the Word today and also give you spiritual eyes to see and ears to hear. We like to start the program with a scripture reading. And today I'm going to one of my favorites. It just jumped out at me in the parking lot. And so here it is. It's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It goes like this. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, which is your rational act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed and progressively changed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That's Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. They have been seminal verses in my life. I urge you to go back and read, well, maybe read the entire book of Romans, but zero in on Romans chapter 12, and that's verses 1 and 2. We have all our podcasts loaded on iTunes now, and we also have a website. It's everydayfaithradio.com. Please let us know if you have any comments or prayer requests, as we would love to pray for you. Again, this is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with today's special guest. Please stay with us.
Here's what's happening in Central Virginia, sponsored by Virginia Blood Services. Charlottesville's Grand Illumination is on November 30th on the Downtown Mall. Festivities begin at 5:30, followed by a 7:30 p.m. tree lighting and an 8 p.m. showing of Home Alone at the Paramount Theater. Albemarle High School's Computer Science Honor Society is hosting a family tech night on December 6th. There are activities for students from kindergarten through high school. For more information, Google Family Tech Night at Albemarle High School. Hospice of the Piedmont's Dining Around the Area coupon book is now available. For more info, go to hopva.org. All proceeds benefit Hospice of the Piedmont. If your charity or nonprofit has an event, email your information at least 4 weeks in advance to psa@monticellomedia.com. For more events, visit our website, wchv.com.
And then you're out of desperation. You're not the only one praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
Welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program today we have a new friend. Jennifer Miskoff is with us on the program. Joan Hutter is here with us kind of in the back for spiritual reinforcement. Joan, thank you for being on the show. But Jennifer, coming all the way from the West Coast, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Jeff. It's great to be here.
Tell us, our listeners love to hear about the faith journey. Can you tell us about how you came to faith?
Yeah, I would love to. I grew up in a Christian house and grew up going to church, very shy child. So I didn't even go to Sunday school because I was too afraid to be with all the, you know, the kids and make friends that way. And so I ended up in the big church with my parents. And then I went to a very, very small Christian school as a child. I think I had six people in my class and played sports. And then from the shift from sixth grade to seventh grade, I went to a big school. And it was still a Christian school, but there was like 80 people in my class. And I had a really challenging time making friends, fitting in. I remember trying to be friends with this one group of girls, sat down at the table, and this girl looked at me and said, "We don't want you here." And I would call my sister on the payphone like almost every day, get me out of this school. Like, it just was really, really hard. Eighth grade was a little bit better. I made some friends, I played sports, and then I shifted from that junior high to a big public high school. And now there's, you know, 1,000 people, a lot of people. And I, you know, it wasn't necessarily me getting made fun of or not fitting in. It was just like, I didn't really even want to fit in with those people because they weren't like me. And I just felt like so different. And by the end of probably halfway through the year, instead of trying to fit in different groups or cliques or, you know, make friends, I ended up going in the girls' locker room alone and reading my Bible. Hmm. And just a very lonely time in my life. And I would go and have lunch and I would read my Bible. And I discovered during that season, like, religion's not about rules and what not to do. Don't do this bad stuff. Don't do this, you know, stuff. It's about this man named Jesus who's madly in love with me. And it was basically as I read the Bible in that lonely time, I discovered what Jesus did for me. And I'm like, I want to give my whole life for this man because he gave everything for me. And so, you know, I grew up in the church and I had incredible people speaking into my life and my parents would pray for me and I had good roots. But actually it was reading the Bible in that time. I can't tell you one day. I think when I was, you know, younger, I went up to the altar like five times to receive Jesus because I just wanted Jesus. But I think when it really stuck was that freshman year. So I was probably like 14 years old. And I knew I wanted to be a missionary from that point on. I'm like, I want to give everything to this man named Jesus.
That's interesting. And this is Everyday Faith Radio, and we have Jennifer Miskoff with us on the program. And Jennifer, if you think back to that time in your life, can you maybe sense a spirit of desperation about you? And I don't want to say that the wrong way. I'm trying to find the right word. But when you have nowhere else to go and there's no other plan B and you're feeling lonely and you've got a hole in your heart and you're trying to find yourself, that oftentimes seems to be the on-ramp to this encounter with Jesus. Mm. Does that sort of fit the bill at all for you?
I think in some areas in that point, a little bit, because it was a lonely time, but I've had other points in my life beyond that. Mm-hmm. Where I've been so desperate for breakthrough that it's driven me to a secret place with the Lord where I have no other options but Him and I cling on to Him. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And I didn't have a way through my storm. At one point in my life, years later, I'm full of Jesus, a Christian, following my heart, and find myself nearly homeless, carless, jobless after getting a PhD and following my heart to live my dreams. And I didn't know where else to go. So I went to Jesus again. Mm-hmm. You know, and this time it wasn't for salvation, it was for breakthrough. But because of that kind of hard time in my life, that was just maybe 8 years ago, when I transitioned from England to Northern California right before Destiny House was birthed, that would drive me to the lake every week to spend time with Jesus because I didn't know where else to go. Mm-hmm. And from that, I later got breakthrough, but now I still go to the lake each week or I spend an extended time with Jesus each week, not because I need breakthrough, but because I need more of Him and I want more of Him. And so I think there is that desperation initially that drives us to just meeting Jesus and embracing Him. But I think it's learning to live in a lifestyle of growing that hunger. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to be hungrier for Jesus today than I was yesterday. Mm-hmm. You know, and what does that look like to position myself? Because I need Him more today than I did yesterday. And so I think desperation is a great thing that can draw us to Him, but I don't think it's always the only thing that draws us to Him.
Yes, I was just speaking with a group, and I was talking about, so my experience with Jesus, a lot of it was birthed out of a period of suffering, what we would call sometimes a season of wilderness. Mm-hmm. And so the listeners have all heard kind of a lot of that, but the real fruit of that time was the time alone with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And building and strengthening the relationship. And it sounds like, Jennifer, that maybe during that season of your life, maybe you experienced a little bit of this Red Sea moment where, mm-hmm. and until you've had that in your life, until you've experienced that, which I have in, mm-hmm. in my kind of business career, I had to have everything go perfect mm-hmm. or everything was going to get flushed. Hmm. And until you've had that moment and can kind of walk through that and see how desperate it is, and then you get to the other side, you understand when the Old Testament talks about Jehovah Jireh, and God will provide. You understand it and can proclaim it's true.
Yeah, and I think it's such a good point. I think it's too learning, even if nothing happens, and even if there's no breakthrough. Like, when I have Jesus, I have everything. You know, whether I have my dreams come true or not, He is my dream come true. And I think it's learning how to be completely satisfied and content. Because when we look at our lives, no matter what hard times we're all going through, Jesus paid the ultimate price for us with His very life. That's how much we are worth it to Him. And so when I have Jesus, I have everything, whether my circumstances feel like that or not. And it's getting to that place where He is always enough.
One of my favorite verses comes out of Psalm 16. King David pens this verse that says, "In His presence is fullness of joy." And I've experienced that. And it sounds like you have too, because what I'm hearing in your story is once you get a taste of life with Jesus, you get drawn in and you must have more, and it becomes the obsession of your life in a good way.
So good.
So tell us about, let me go to Jennifer Miskoff today, and then we're going to head to the break here. Tell us what you're doing now. You're in Charlottesville. You're here. You came for the Women Abide Conference that our friend Joan Hutter put together. Can you tell us about your ministry today? And then I'll probably have to cut it short, but we'll take a break and get the rest after the break.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'll give you my now, present now, because I'm in quite a massive transition. I was just in Maui for 3.5 months on a sabbatical that got extended. I wasn't planning on it being that long, but I've been in Redding the last 7 years, Northern California, and I had a ministry there called Destiny House. And we're in quite a big transition right now, because I'm kind of shifting to doing more speaking, traveling. But one of my favorite parts of ministry is I believe we can't step into the fullness of our God-given destiny without intimacy with Jesus and connection with the family of God. And so everything I do as far as ministry, I want to have those two elements of the secret place, intimacy with Jesus, and connection with the body of Christ. And so Destiny House is kind of part of that, which is a family, a group of people that are hungry for God, doing life together, praying, fasting, sharing family meals, doing worship together every week, and just running after Jesus and encouraging each other towards our destiny. And then my personal ministry, I love leading people into encounters with Jesus or defining moments with Jesus, but not just a moment with Him. Kind of, what does it look like to lead people into a lifestyle of intimacy and union with Jesus? And so I write books. That's one way I do it. I talk about revival history, Azusa Street Revival, Welsh Revival, testimony is the power of the testimony, just and share other people's encounters too, and what God's done in the Bible to help invite people to encounter more of God today. And then I just love introducing people to the Holy Spirit and the fullness of the Holy Spirit that have yet to kind of partake of that aspect of God. And so, yeah, I travel. I am not sure where I'm going to land in this next season of my life. It could be anywhere, but I think I'll go to Europe early next year and do some ministry there. And I love teaching at like school ministries and that kind of stuff. And I just taught back at a school ministry in Reading, and just a couple of days ago, and I shared about the Azusa Street Revival, and then people were on the floor just marked by God and weeping, and this consecration, this baptism of fire is released. So I love inviting people into all that God has for them, not just salvation, but there's even more beyond that.
This is Everyday Faith Radio, and our guest is Jennifer Miskoff. Jennifer, we're heading towards the break, and we only have a minute to go. But if somebody's wandered on this radio station today and they don't have that incredible relationship with Jesus that you've described, what would you say to somebody that's just kind of wandered onto the station today? They're curious about Jesus, but they want more. What would you say to them?
I say there's more, and it's not an accident that you're listening to this right now. So stay tuned, because God has a divine purpose for you today.
This is Everyday Faith Radio. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. Please stay with us.
Fox on Faith. with Lauren Green.
And I think the essence of being a good human being is to be a good ancestor while you're alive.
For filmmaker Aaron Wolf, his new film, Restoring Tomorrow, chronicles the $150 million restoration of the historic Wilshire Boulevard Synagogue in Los Angeles. Built in the 1920s by Hollywood elites like Louis B. Mayer and the Warner Brothers, it fell into disrepair during the tumultuous decades of cultural and social change. Its physical condition, an outward sign of the spiritual decline which Wolf realized he himself embodied.
I think it's a generational problem, and that's why I think this film and my journey serves as this microcosm.
The film airs at selected theaters. Wolf plans to donate his proceeds to all victims of the recent shootings in Pittsburgh and Thousand Oaks, California.
Younger people are starting to brand religious institutions with extremism. That's not the case. Extremism is not what religious institutions, what faith is all about.
For Fox on Faith, Lauren Green, Fox News.
And then you're out.
And welcome back to Everyday Faith Radio. This is Jeff Gaffney, your host, and with us on the program from the West Coast here for a conference, Women Abide, that it's been put on by our good friend Joan Hutter, who's been on this show many times. Her husband Chauncey's been on the show, and the people I've met. Thank you, Joan Hutter, for introducing me to amazing people. Today we have Dr. Jennifer Miskoff with us. And Jennifer, I need to know this part of your story. How did you end up in Redding, California, and with the Bethel family out there? I'm very curious about this.
Well, it all started in, I went to Vanguard University for my undergrad, 1996 to the year 2000. And I decided I wanted to be a missionary. So straight from there, I went to Mozambique, Africa, for 6 months to just try out the life of a missionary. And I intersected with a woman named Heidi Baker, and just before I actually went. And when I was out there serving as a missionary full-time, this team from Reading came out. And I got to host them. I got to take them to Camp 2000, a church I helped plant. We saw bread multiply, just connected, just kindred hearts, and I knew I'd be back one day. I went to visit in 2001 and just really loved the environment. And went to England for 4 years, 2007, 2011, do my PhD. And right towards the end of my time, I was praying about, you know, what to do, stay in England, come back. I had pretty clear direction to come back to California. I didn't know if I was supposed to go to Southern California, where I'm from, or Northern California. And someone showed me a God's or General's Library video of Bill Johnson about revival history and doing that. And I'm like, I need to go there and help be a part of this. And God used that video to really draw me to Reading and give it a try. And God opened up doors after a time of desperation, which I was sharing about before, that happened at the beginning of my time. And the rest is history. It's been 7 years there, September, and now I'm not exactly sure what's next, but it's been an incredible season, and Reading will always be a home.
This is why I have to ask this question, and none of our listeners know this yet, and my mother, who listens to the show, she's going to say, what about this? But the birthing of this radio show comes from a video I watched of Bill Johnson. A friend of mine introduced me to Bill Johnson, just his videos, and I've watched him on YouTube and the Church family out in Redding, California. And so when I first Googled Bill Johnson, I found the skier, and I realized that he's not the skier. I found the pastor, and then there's a whole library of wonderful videos of Bill Johnson preaching and teaching. But he talked about the power of the testimony.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
I think you've heard that.
Come on.
And
love
so,
yes.
So
yes.
I'm listening to this man preach on the power of the testimony. And 2 weeks later, I get a prompting from the Holy Spirit that says, well, it was really Bill's message to me, a kind of delayed reaction, but a prompting that said that Bill's vision was that we want to have these almost like missile silos. It's a bad vision, but if you can picture it, kind of testimonies going up from the West Coast and testimonies going up from the East Coast. And I grabbed a hold of that and I said, I think I'm supposed to do this.
Wow.
And so the Holy Spirit kind of came in and said, you're going to do this on this radio show, which was, anyway, that's why when I read your bio and I said, Reading. This is my first kind of connection to the Bethel wow. family, which Joe Thomas will tell me we've been doing this show now 4 or 5 years.
Wow.
And the birthing of it all came from wow. Bill's teaching on the testimony. Well, now I'm going to ask you, just for a testimony 101, could you maybe walk through for our listeners from your perspective and kind of what you've learned? Why is the testimony so powerful and why is it so important?
I would love to. I have a great story for this because I love the power of the testimony. I've written about it. And there was a woman that's marked my life. She's not alive anymore. Her name's Carrie Judd Montgomery. I ended up doing my PhD on her life. But she, in the 1800s, she was walking and fell and ended up getting like really damaged. Her spine, ended up in bed for 2 years, hyperesthesia of the blood, tuberculosis, couldn't handle light, sound, touch. She was basically waiting to die. And she's like a late teenager. And at that point in time, people believed it was good to suffer as unto the Lord. And that's how you honor the Lord. And she's like, no, I feel like there's a calling on my life. Alive, not dead. And through a series of events, her dad read a testimony in a newspaper of another woman named Sarah Mix, who was healed of prayers. And so they wrote to her and said, will you pray for Carrie? So they, like a week later, they set aside time. One was in Connecticut, and then Carrie was in Buffalo, New York, the East Coast right here. Mm-hmm. And they prayed, and by faith, Carrie stood up and began her face went from pale back to the normal pink. She got healed from that day forward. Slowly, she could go up and down the stairs teaching Sunday school. Basically, she got healed, and she stewarded her testimony. It ended up in the newspaper, ended up going to England. People would read this testimony and have faith to pray for healing at a time that people didn't believe God would heal. She stewarded this testimony and wrote the book called The Prayer of Faith in 1880.
Wow.
And this book went around the world, different translations, 40,000 copies around the world. People would read that book back then of her testimony and say, oh my gosh, she got healed. I can get healed. They pray the prayer of faith in James 5 and they would get healed. And the crazy thing is, I'll meet people today through my studies who have read the book, her book, and she's dead, right? This is 1880. They've read her book and they pray the prayer of faith and they're getting healed.
Yeah.
So like a testimony that she stewarded in her life is still releasing healing generations after she's come and gone. So I think it's so powerful for all of us, for our own lives and destiny. Like, I need to remember what God's done in my life when I'm about to step into another breakthrough, because I can pull from that. I need to remember about the Red Sea.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had this moment where I really wanted to go back to England 4 or 5 years after I got my PhD for my friend's wedding, and I didn't have money at the time. So I showed up at San Francisco Airport by faith, trusting that God could get me from there to there, because he did it for Reese Howes, he did it for John G. Lake, he parted the Red Sea for Moses. Mm-hmm. And long story short, God at the airport provided and I got to go to my friend's wedding. But I was pulling from the testimony of all these people to launch myself into a greater measure of destiny, and pulling on God, of course, for mm-hmm. his miraculous power. But it's really powerful when we remember. I mean, the whole reason the Israelites did not step into their inheritance and destiny when they were 40 years in the desert is because they forgot what God had done. They mm-hmm. forgot the miraculous power. So I think it's so powerful in our own hearts and lives for our own stories to remember and feast on what God's done so that we can continue to step into even greater breakthroughs.
Amen. This is Everyday Faith Radio. Jeff Gaffney, your host, and our guest today is Dr. Jennifer Muscoff, who's here for the Women Abide Conference, hosted by my good friend Joan Hutter's putting that together at Connect Church. And Jennifer, Bill Johnson talks about that the word testimony, I don't know the exact Hebrew word that it comes from, but it comes from the word that means do again.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you start to understand the power of the testimony that God, if he's done it once, mm-hmm. he can do it again. Mm-hmm. And as you said, to be able to kind of draw on that. And then those of us who have seen God provide, and as we're trying to go out, what you just said, when you're trying to go out in your day and you're trying, maybe you're at a place of desperation financially, or you're mm-hmm. you're praying for a friend who's struggling with addiction or a challenging marriage. And you can draw on these stories of mm-hmm. how God has provided mm-hmm. and the power of the testimony that he in through faith, realize that he can do it again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, testimony prophesies into a better future. Mm-hmm. And I think another thing on top of that, talking about breakthrough, is going in the opposite spirit. In the Great Depression in 1920, Amy Simple McPherson, God called her to build one of the largest churches in California at that time. And this is during the Great Depression. And she had like $5,000 and that was it. But by faith, she stepped out and then she raised money, ended up paying for the whole thing in cash at the end of the time, ended up feeding more people than the Red Cross. So I think when something's coming against us, if it's financial, then let's give, you know, like if it's whatever it is, like what does it look like to go in the opposite spirit and trust the Lord, keep our eyes on Jesus and not on the facts and circumstances, but on the truth. Mm. Like if God, Philippians 1:6, if God's called us to do something, he will complete it in his timing.
Mm. So we're winding up the show here, and at the end, we're going to have Jen pray for us at the end of the show. But before we do that, Jen, I'm wondering, can you share with us any Bible verses that are close to your heart right now? I have a feeling you have a few.
The one that God's really been speaking to me in this season is Psalm 61, the end of it, in the Passion Translation. It says, basically, all the power and strength I need flow from God. All the love I need is found in him. And how God is my source above everything. Everything I need, I go to him. He'll provide through the body of Christ. He'll provide through people. He'll provide through the miraculous. I literally drove through money once and went out in my car and grabbed money, you know, like there's so many amazing things God's done, but there's in this season right now, Psalm 61 has been what I've been feasting on, and just realizing everything we need and everything flows from him. Mm-hmm. He's the answer and the source to everything.
I'm reminded of Philippians 4:19 as you say that, and my God will provide all your needs according to his riches and glory. And as you spend time kind of bathing in that verse, and that comes right after I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and you start to string these together, I find just a meeting with the supernatural. So, Jennifer, I'm going to ask you, I might let you pray right now. I might just ask you to pray. We're in Charlottesville, Virginia. We've had our highs and lows in this town. We've had division. We're bringing back unity. I'm going to ask you to pray for our listeners, pray for our city, pray for Central Virginia, and I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, I would be honored to. Thank you so much, Jeff. Yeah, so God, I thank you for this divine intersection with everyone who is listening right now. And we welcome more of your spirit, more of your presence in our lives. God, these healing testimonies have been released. These financial testimonies have been released. These testimonies of just being completely satisfied in intimacy with you have been released. And God, I pray over each person listening right now that you would apprehend them, that the fire of God would come, that you would manifest your presence and your love in their life. Lord, that there would be a fresh baptism of the Father's love, safety, protection, and covering over each person. Lord, I pray that that new hope would arise. God, I thank you that when we have you, we have everything. And so I pray for a fresh revelation of your love over each person. And God, I thank you for this time, and I pray that this seed that's been planted would bear much, much fruit for the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Everyday Faith Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. Dr. Jen Miskoff, thank you so much for joining us. And to all of our listeners, have a great weekend, and we'll see you next Sunday on Everyday Faith.